This morning, I'd like to begin by telling you a story, telling you about my friend, Miss F. Miss F survived the pogroms in Poland, Hitler's murderous Reich, and Stalin's regime of tyranny. Her stories are captivating, and her character is remarkable. After spending the Holocaust in hiding, Miss F immigrated to America. Once in this country, Miss F worked to support her family during the day, and then she attended school and later college at night. Eventually, Miss F saved enough money and she bought a business in the Washington Heights section of Manhattan. She owned and operated her business, a dress store, for 20 years. Now, in her 90s, Miss F lives a very different life. All of her family and friends are gone, leaving Miss F to fight a new battle, a battle against loneliness. It isn't unusual for Miss F to spend large blocks of time in complete isolation. Once, Miss F despondently declared, "I am all alone in this world. Nobody cares for me. Nobody loves me. If I died today, nobody would even notice." Miss F later acknowledged that that was not true. In her battle against loneliness and isolation, Miss F had allies. I was one of them. Every week, for 1 year, I visited Miss F in her small apartment and we chatted. While it was too difficult for Miss F to navigate the streets of Manhattan alone, with her arm looped around mine, we often took a walk, sometimes stopping for a cup of coffee or at the local market. I was only one of Miss F's companions. There were several others. And all of us became connected to Miss F through the efforts of various social service organizations. Organizations whose sole purpose is to ensure that people like Miss F are not forgotten. I am proud to say that these organizations are Jewish. Why is it a Jewish imperative to care for people like Miss F? Perhaps the answer is found in God's actions. According to Sefer HaBahir, which is an early Kabbalistic work, before God created the world, God's most treasured possession was a lamp. God would spend moments of leisure gently caressing the lamp. However, God could not find an appropriate place to display this light. So God contracted God's self. God reduced God's own presence just enough to create a space that would allow matter to exist. This space is our world. Vayomer Elohim yihi or. And then God said, "Let there be light." With this utterance, with this command, God shares God's most precious possession, the gift of light, with his creation. As Jews, we strive to emulate God. We believe it is of primary importance to approach the world in the way in which God engages the world. During creation, God first contracted God's self to make room for the earth. Then God shared his favorite gift, light. As Jews, we must similarly, on occasion, decrease the demands of self for the good of others. Like God, the initial provider of light, we must bring light to places of darkness. The book of Proverbs teaches, The spirit of man is God's lamp. Sharing our spirit with others through acts of kindness causes the light of God to radiate throughout the world. This week's Torah portion recalls an act of pure kindness. After 17 years in the land of Egypt, after his family is reunited, Jacob approaches the end of his life. He summons his son Joseph to his deathbed. Jacob asks Joseph to perform an act of kindness and truth, chesed ve'emet. He asks Joseph to ensure that once he dies, he is not buried in Egypt, but rather he is brought to the promised land to be buried with his ancestors. Joseph swears to his dying father that his request will be honored. Our sages are puzzled by Jacob's request, not by what he asks, but rather by how he asks it. Remember, Jacob declares that his request is an act of chesed ve'emet, an act of kindness and truth. A midrash poses the question, why did Jacob ask for both chesed, kindness, and emet, truth? For can there be false kindness? The Midrash answers its own question and suggests that when Jacob asks for chesed ve'emet, kindness and truth, a distinguished kind of kindness is required, a type of kindness that can never be reciprocated, an act for which there will be nothing in return. Jacob will never be able to repay Joseph for arranging his burial. With Jacob's request in mind, the rabbis deem this type of kindness, a kindness that can never be reciprocated, an act of chesed shel emet, the most true and pure demonstration of kindness. Every time one of us attends a funeral and shovel soil to cover the plot, we have fulfilled an act of chesed shel emet, an act of pure kindness. Today's world requires more acts of chesed shel emet, acts of pure kindness, not as classically defined by the sages as acts in which reciprocity is impossible, but rather acts in which we expect nothing in return. We need to embrace acts of kindness simply out of concern for others and out of a love for humanity. This type of chesed is necessary to stand in contradistinction to the overwhelming amount of horror, hate, and acrimony in the world. Only through acts of chesed can the light of God begin to illuminate a shockingly dim world. The loss of light in this world is not exclusively the result of the global state of affairs. Certainly, genocide in the Darfur region of the Sudan, the death of American soldiers at the hands of suicide bombers in Iraq, and terrorism in Israel threaten to blot out the light of goodness and godliness. However, darkness also exists in our immediate circles. Just the other day, I witnessed an extremely disturbing act. A homeless man approached a man looking at a newspaper at a newsstand. In a respectful, non-threatening manner, he requested some change from the man with the magazine. Instead of simply declining the request, which is certainly the man's prerogative, the man irately dismissed the homeless man with inappropriate words and a cruel, condescending manner. As individuals, we can and we should become involved to help eradicate hate and suffering in the world. However, we must not forget the impact of our actions in our immediate surroundings. Tikkun Olam, repairing the world, begins with acts of kindness, chesed, in our immediate surroundings. In the early 90s, the environmentalists had a slogan, "Think globally, act locally." Perhaps the Jewish adaptation should be tzedakah globally, chesed locally. The situation is not hopeless. Thank God there are acts of chesed being performed every day. And I would like to share a story of chesed in our community. It's a Christmas story. Actually, a Sinai Temple Christmas story, which you can read about in this week's Jewish Journal. Last year, David Finnegan, a young reporter, went through a rough divorce. David is Catholic, so last year Christmas was particularly tough for David. He recalls, "I did not buy a Christmas tree. There was no joy in my life that such a tree could magnify. I woke up Christmas morning with no tree, toys, or eggnog. Like Jewish kids, I had no gifts that morning, but I had Sinai Temple." Last year on Christmas, Sinai Temple's young adult program, Atid, attracted over 100 volunteers to demonstrate chesed on Christmas. Despite a heavy heart and broken spirit, David Finnegan, the reporter, came to gather information for his story on Atid's mitzvah day. He witnessed young Jews helping out the less fortunate throughout the city. At a downtown rescue mission, David interviewed Lita Tabibian, a longtime Sinai member and active participant in Atid. With a smile and giving heart, Lita mentioned how wonderful the event was, and she changed David's entire Christmas. He recalls, "What could I say? My wife had left me. My Savior was born, yet I didn't feel saved. But Tabibian's rich Persian smile, her dark eyes alight at the joy of doing a mitzvah, and that phrase, 'Isn't it wonderful?' briefly stopped my grief. Suddenly, with her question, Christmas Day started to glow a little." David's piece concludes, fully demonstrating the wonder and transformative power of chesed, and I hope it serves to inspire us all. "Last Christmas Day, when I looked at the young Jewish volunteers in that underground Ralph's parking lot, in a small way, I was home again among my Studio City own, spending part of Christmas with cool Jews. I was broken, yes, but not alone." Shabbat Shalom.